Turning our attention to cranberries here on the program now. You know, for I think it's more than three decades, Wisconsin has led the nation in cranberry production. We're also the single largest source of cranberries in the world. And we're going to talk about cranberries. We're right in the harvest season for it. And Grant Holly is our guest. Grant is executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. So, do you like the tangy taste of cranberry juice or maybe dried cranberries known as craisins? Do you know the most of the world's cranberries are grown right here in our state? Give us a call. The number, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Grant Holly, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much. We are thrilled to be here. It's the right time of year for us.
Oh, it really is. The season, harvest season right on. How's the crop looking?
It looks like we're going to be down this year. We had such a huge year last year. We were probably two or three cranberries shy of the entire record last year. Cranberries are perennial plants, which means they come back year after year. But just like us, once you have had two or three banner years in a row, you kind of want to take a weekend to sit on the couch. That's kind of where our cranberries went this year. They started to take this year off. We had some crazy weather here in Wisconsin right up until harvest, and I think that pushed some of our cranberries into they go dormant a little bit earlier. So we are down for the year, but we're not too far off the average.
And so what's the average? How much do we produce every year?
That's a good question. We produce about 5 million cranberries a year. 5 million barrels. I apologize. 5 million barrels. A barrel is 100 pounds of cranberries. So just take that 5 million and multiply by 100, and that gives you how many pounds we actually produce. Last year, as an example, we were over 6 million pounds of cranberries. And this year, it looks like we're going to be close to around 4.7 would be my best guess right now.
And I'm wondering about the jobs. I mean, there must be a lot of people tied in with this.
We do. We have over 4,000 jobs in the state are directly tied to cranberries. And then you have the external folks as well. So whether it's going to be farm machinery, whether it's going to be the truckers, whether it's going to be no matter the other jobs, that's just going to add to it as well. Their entire communities. You look at the Warrens community, you look at the Cranmore community, those entire communities are somehow, some way tied to cranberries. And there are a number of those across the state. It's these guys have been on their marshes for 100-150 years. So they're pretty much considered family at this point in time for their communities.
You know, I think it'd be fun to talk about the process with cranberries. I mean, I've got lots more to talk about, but I think can you talk about, you know, from the start of the year, it's a perennial crop.
Yeah.
But talk about how it's set up and throughout the year, what happens through to harvest.
Well, these guys are busy all year long, and sometimes we use harvest as we call it the end of our year, which really the next year starts the very next day. So if we start in the wintertime, would be the best time to be able to call it. So we'll go from winter to fall. So in the wintertime, the vines are still in the ground. They're still kind of incubating there. The berries for the upcoming year are actually already on the vines. So the berries take longer than a year to be able to develop. The berries that we just harvested were actually fertilized a year and a half ago. So the berries for this upcoming year are already on the vine, which means we got to be able to protect them. If you look, they just look like little nuggets, like itty bitty teeny tiny things on the vine. They haven't really turned into a berry yet. So in the beginning part of the winter, when the temperatures are just like Wisconsin, we know it, that it's like we wear a bathing suit in the day in the noon, and we're in a winter coat by 8 o'clock at night. We will typically do things called frost watch. So we will use our sprinklers and our irrigation to put water on top of the berries. So as we get to frost, if heat needs to come from somewhere, it'll come from the water rather than the berry, and it just protects them in those big temperature gradients. Once Wisconsin decides that it's time for us all to put the big coat on for the year, then what we like to do is we will flood the marshes, and we wait for about 6 to 10 inches of ice to form on top, and then we drain the bottom. So we basically created an ice cave for the berries. The berries were found here. Cranberries are native. It's one of the most important things about them. Before there were people, there were cranberries. And when people got here, they tried to grow other things, and the land was too stubborn, and they decided to just grow what they found, which was cranberries. So they can handle those ice caves just fine. When it gets to negative 40, they don't handle that real well. So we like to put them protected under the ice. We will then take sand and put – we'll drive big trucks on top of the ice. It's nice and thick. And we put sand on top of the ice, so as it melts in the spring, we get a re-sanding. So we actually add new sand on top of our soil. It really helps with weeds, helps with pests. That takes us directly into the spring, and in the springtime, we're all about the flowers. It's we got flowers, we got blooms, we got bees. It is a pretty, pretty, pretty time of year. But at this point, what we're really trying to do is just make sure nothing hurts the berries, nothing hurts the plants, nothing hurts the vines. We watch for smoke. Bees and smoke don't get along. Bees see the smoke, they go home. That's how you control bees. So that can affect pollination. From there, all we're doing is just feeding them when we need to feed them. We're keeping them happy. In the north, we always watch for frost, even in the heat of the summer. And they start to plump up, and we hit harvest. And that takes us right back into the wintertime. But there's a job for every season.
Yeah, there sure is. And then the water, the flooding happens, does it not, again?
That's we flood there for harvest. The nice thing about cranberries is that they float. Cranberries way back in the day, back in the 1800s, before they started using water for the harvest, they used rakes. And it worked when you only had a few hundred berries. Now that we're measuring things in millions of pounds, hundreds of millions of pounds, what makes that possible is that they float. So we will flood the marshes with about 10 inches of water. We take a little specialized tractor that goes in and just gently knocks the berries off. They float to the top. We add in a little bit more water, and we take a glorified wet dry vac, and we basically just suck them up, and you've done a harvest. And it kind of works things out real well.
Oh, my gosh. What a great description. You did a fine job there, Grant, of describing that.
I had a little bit of practice this year. It's all good.
Grant Holly is executive director of the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. And we'll be talking to him for another half hour about cranberries. And we certainly want to hear from you. Maybe you're a cranberry farmer yourself. I'd love to hear you call in with a comment, or maybe you just have questions about cranberries themselves or the products that come from them. You can give a call, and we'll talk about that. We'll take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on WPR News. Then we'll be back with Grant Holly. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News, where we've turned our attention to cranberries, that tart, dark red fruit grown in marshes and harvested every October. And they are pretty much known the world over. Larry Mueller here having some fun talking with Grant Holley, executive director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association, talking about the history of growing cranberries in our state, how Wisconsin growers are meeting the global demand. Somebody typed in, Grant, that you should star in a Hallmark Christmas movie set on a cranberry farm.
Well, as a single person, I got to tell them that I tried that at a Christmas farm, and I was even wearing flannel last year, and I got to wonder if those Hallmark movies are lying to us, to be real honest. And we do need one. If it's centered around cranberries, we'd love to have it. But I think they're absolutely right. It could actually be a nice setting. It'd be awesome.
It would be, and a very colorful setting as well. Logan in Madison has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Logan.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
So I was curious about the relationship between wolf spiders, and in the bog when they flood. You know, I've always wondered, like, what drew them to that sort of environment, and, you know, when they flood it, you know, they kind of are all over the surface of the water. So just, you know, curious about that relationship.
Wolf spiders.
See, okay, I had a betting pool started, but a legal one. And it was, when was the first spider question going to hit? And I had number one, and you just won me $5. So that is beautiful. It's one of our most popular questions, to be real honest. And I love it because it helps to tell the cranberry story. Do we have spiders in the marshes? You bet we do. We love our spiders because they're a natural predator. They're going to take out the bugs that we don't like. The more spiders we have, the less of anything else that we have to worry about. Our number one pesticide is ice. So in that nice cold Wisconsin winters, we love it. And when we get down to about negative 20, because I can hear the blunt-nosed leafhopper freeze to death and screaming out there in the cold, and I just cackle. So we're happy about that. The spiders are a close second, and they are there. We want to see them there. Cranberries, and because, again, they're perennial, and they are naturally here. They're local. This is where they are indigenous. They are not an introduced species. The entire ecosystem grew up with them. So those spiders grew up with the cranberries. You want to see them. So I grew up in the hills of Appalachia. My grandmother, who was one of the smartest people on earth, always said that if she goes to a farm and she doesn't see bugs, she leaves because something's wrong. So the fact that you see our spiders there, the fact that you see a full ecosystem there, really indicates some of the health of what we do. That being said, there are some, I know this is going to come as a shocker. Don't believe everything you see on the internet. Keep it to yourselves. Don't let anybody else know, but don't do that. The internet does have some stories that we raise them. We corral them. Cranberry cowboys. It just makes for a great picture. There's a t-shirt there somewhere, but we don't do that. There's enough natural. When we flood our marshes, one thing about spiders and our friends is they're not dumb. The big ones, they just walk away and they wait. They've seen it before. Just like a normal wetland when it floods, spiders don't wait around to drown. They walk away. So the big ones will go up into the woods and you can watch them go, and it's kind of fun. The smaller ones, that they float. So you will see some on the water. You'll see some that are around, but they're perfectly natural. The smaller ones, they'll float for a little while, but they also do this really cool thing of sending a web out, and they kind of turn themselves into kites. So that's kind of interesting as well. But it's a nice piece of the natural environment. So do we have them? We absolutely have them. If you go out to see a marsh, are you going to be tackled by hordes of spiders? You're not. Are they kind of our friends? They are. Do we ever get bit? In the 2 years now that I've been out to a couple of harvests and I've had waders on and been out in the water, I might have had one bite, but it suspiciously looked an awful lot like a mosquito bite at the same time. So these guys, they're not too bad. They're part of our ecosystem. We love them. They help us out, and hopefully we help them out too.
Yeah. Logan, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Let's turn to Heidi in Friendship, Wisconsin. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me on. I had to call because I was very impressed with how Grant explained the whole process of cranberries. I was a teacher for 24 years in Juneau County in the Nisita School District, and every year we would go out to the Cutler Cranberry Marsh where Lisa Potter would tell the students, you know, all about cranberries, and we just enjoyed it so much. Usually, you know, it was always a miserably rainy day. Yeah. And I think out of 24 years, I maybe got two that were sunny, but, you know, the chaperones would hang in there and we'd be freezing to death and learning about cranberries. So I learned about the ice caves from you, though. I had never heard that. Lisa maybe left that out, or maybe I was chasing kids at the time to make them pay attention. But now the spiders, that was new to me. I didn't know about that. But I also wanted to mention the Cranberry Discovery Center in Warrens. That was also a really neat place to take kids. And I just, you know, I've been retired now for 3 years, and I miss it. I miss going to that cranberry marsh in the fall and just experiencing the whole Wisconsin cranberry story.
Yeah. Well, Heidi, you could still go. You know, there are some cranberry festivals, are there not, Grant?
We got cranberry festivals. We got folks that will do tours. I know, Lisa. If you sit back and you tell Lisa, I used to come out with my classes. Lisa's going to take you out if she's not up to her elbows in cranberries itself. That's a huge shout out to them. Some of the finest people you're ever going to meet. Come on back out. That Discovery Center is fabulous as well. That entire area, you'd be hard-pressed to not find good information. You come out in the fall when the leaves are pretty, the berries are pretty. You are seeing Wisconsin at its finest, and I would recommend everybody to do it. The only PSA that I would throw out is, and it really hits people from Illinois more than Wisconsin. Wisconsin, our common sense, we know our farmers, but please just don't pull off the road and go walking into a marsh. They are set into the ground. There are ditches here and there, and they can be dangerous. Call ahead. Find a farmer. You can go to our website. We have a list of folks, and they are proud. If you think that I talk a lot about cranberries, just hold your horses. They are so proud of what they do. They are more than happy to show folks around. Just let them know you're coming.
Heidi, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. This is a great little story you told there, Heidi, and a great comment from back from Grant. Jill in Rice Lake, let's go to you next. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. I would say 30 years ago, I went to the Warren Cranberry Fest, and there I bought a watercolor of the cranberry, the berries, but also the blossom. And I was told by the artist that it was called the cranberry because the blossom looks like a crane head. Is this accurate? And, you know, I kind of doubt it because I'm thinking the natives named them something.
Yeah, a little of the history on that, Grant.
You actually are 100% correct. So if you go out and take a look at the flowers look a lot like sandhill cranes, from the coloring to the shape, and they were originally called crane berries. But of course, just like good Americans, we shorten words all the time. I mean, let's face it, it's the newer generation. They're down to LOLs and W, and all those kind of fun things. So they're just down to letters. We just cut cranberries down, or craneberries down to cranberries. But that is 100% accurate. And if you're ever looking for a partner to those paintings, that Warren's Cranfest has only gotten bigger, and the artists are still out there. I remember seeing a few watercolors this past year.
Jill, thank you so much for calling. Rita in Babcock, in the Babcock area, emailed to say that they grow cranberries. And Rita wants to know if you think that the Canadian fires smoke affected the bees and thus pollinating this growing season.
So the flowers that were just out, so the ones that were there in June, those are going to make the berries for next year. The berries from this year came from the June previously, but we had smoke then as well. Everybody that I talk to, whether they are a cranberry farmer or even a beekeeper, and they're saying that the behaviors are absolutely being affected. So that is bound to affect our volume, if you will. So cranberries are not self-pollinating like other plants. We have to have those pollinators. We have to have native pollinators. And yeah, the smoke on those heavy smoke days, bees naturally, they just go back home is what they do. And they don't come out as much as they used to. And those flowers have a shelf life for how long that they're viable. So is it affecting us? It is. Is there anything that we can do about it? Not a whole lot. Welcome to agriculture. We're always facing a challenge. But yeah, any of we throw out those prayers of no hail during the flowering time, but we're also starting to throw out the prayers of no smoke during our flowering time either.
And, you know, relating to the bees, do the growers bring in bees? My my future son-in-law's they have a bee farm and honey farm, and they ship, for example, they'll ship bees to California in the wintertime to do the work there. Is that what the cranberry growers do?
The only thing harder working than a cranberry grower are those bees, because even when we get a little bit of a nap in the winter, those bees go to Texas. So yes, they are native. So we do use local groups, Wisconsin-based beekeepers, but the Wisconsin beekeepers will rotate their bees as well. But yeah, we bring in bees, especially for the larger marshes. Some of our smaller marshes can handle with the native pollinators that they already have in place, but some of our marshes are so large that we rent them. And we rent them through some Wisconsin beekeepers. Keep them here and tell them to contact cranberry folks, because we're always looking for bees, to be real honest. We literally have billions and billions of cranberries. It's had a few school groups run the math, and we have somewhere around 146 billion cranberries a year. So that means that we have 146 billion flowers at the minimum that need to be pollinated. That's a lot.
Boy, yeah, that is. Do any of the cranberry folks have their own bees, raise their own bees?
Several do. It's a lot of folks, especially as our marshes. So most of our marshes started with one family. Those families have kids, and then those kids have kids. So you typically have marshes these days with multiple families living on them. Well, there are more than just cranberry jobs that are out there, and some of the families are going over to beekeeping. And a number of people are putting bees on their own property. It does help with the pollination during the year, but then it also creates another incredibly natural and healthy product. And you're going to see a lot of farmers markets. People are having cranberry honey, and it's good stuff. I mean, grab those, to be real honest.
It is indeed. Tree and Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Tree.
Hi. I just want to say that the explanation of how you grow the cranberries was extraordinary. I saw myself. I saw the whole picture of everything happening there. My question is, I'd like to know if you use pesticides to harvest your cranberries.
Okay.
Not all the time. As I mentioned before, one of our best pesticides, and actually the number one that we use, is ice. because cranberries were grown here and they were found here, most of their natural predators, so most of their natural bugs that will get on them, there are natural ways to be able to combat them. It's not like bringing in a crop from another area to here, and they don't have any defenses against native bugs. Cranberries, native cranberries and native bugs grew up together. So it's sort of like this ecological ecosystem, tit for tat, finding ways to be able to combat. But one of the things that's nice is the ice. Again, I'm not kidding. When I actually see negative 20 outside, I picture those bugs going back to whatever hell bred them, and I'm good with that. And it's one of the most wonderful things. So on a really cold winter, we have usually literally almost no problems when it comes to bugs. Sand is another way. If they did get in there and it was a little bit warmer of a winter and there are eggs in the ground because we sand during the wintertime, that sand covers the eggs and the eggs don't come into being adults. Now, if we get a very warm winter, which Wisconsin's starting to see, and we're paying very, very, very close attention to, would we have to use a pesticide if ice and sand didn't do the job? Yeah, you're seeing folks starting to use pesticides here and there, not in the amounts that one would think. One piece to remember, again, we're not self-pollinating. So we have to rely on those bees. We can't put a pesticide on that could ever harm bees. Not only does it make the feds nice and angry, but it also goes against our bottom line. We would actually be shorting ourselves money. Whereas you might kill a bad bug, you're still killing a good bug. And that's money on the vine for us as well. So we're very careful with those pieces. We also partner very closely with UW, and I want to give a huge shout out to the UW people, because one of the reasons cranberries are so successful here in Wisconsin is because of that partnership with our researchers. And they're helping us get completely away from pesticides as well. Because again, cranberries are grown here. They were found here, and the bugs were as well. There are little itty bitty, and hear me out before you go, ooh. There are little itty bitty worms in all soil that's out there. They're called nematodes. Those nematodes will actually eat the bad bugs. They eat the eggs of the bad bugs. So if we increase those populations in cranberry marshes, we have found a natural way to be able to combat the pests, in which case we don't have to use any chemicals. Those nematodes are natural in the soil to begin with, and they just get a little bit more of bonanza when you're looking at a cranberry marsh, making it healthy for everybody. If you ever take a look, go look. It's out there. They call it the Sinful Seven crops that are out there. Cranberries have never been on that list. We don't plan to be on that list. When they're grown here in Wisconsin, there's so many things going for us that really a natural approach is the best approach that we can go with.
Mark in Madison has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just was wondering, I noticed that maybe a dozen years ago or more, you never saw unsweetened dried cranberries, craisins. And now you are seeing some on the market, but they're quite expensive, maybe double or triple the price of sweetened craisins. And given that you can buy raisins for very cheap, you know, and they're not sweetened at all. I'm just wondering why craisins are, is there some process issue that makes unsweetened craisins much more difficult to produce than sweetened?
Okay.
That's a wonderful question. I don't think I've ever gotten that before. But there's some good answers here. You might not like all the answers, but they're good answers here. Accurate answers. How's that? So one of the pieces with your unsweetened dried cranberries, this isn't a grower piece, it's a handler piece. So it's like the industry that takes our berries and then sends them out into the world. They go with markets. So they take most of our cranberries, and they will add sugar to them in a lot of products because that's what the American people kind of like. We like our sugar. That is starting to have a downturn, which we are thrilled about. I'm like you. I prefer the unsweetened. That's my taste better to me, and that's what I go with. But because of that, the unsweetened are more scarce, which means that the prices are higher. We politic to our handlers all the time to maybe put more unsweetened out there. We do know that some of our handlers, even with some of the sugary juices, there are now sugar-free options. They're also doing cranberry concentrate, which is incredibly healthy. But the piece here, and I'm glad you mentioned raisins themselves. So when cranberries are sweetened, they're actually sweetened to the same level as a raisin. So they actually have the same amount of sugar. But if you look at the nutritional aspects, the cranberries are much more nutritious and they're better for the human body than raisins. So it does always go with personal taste, if you will. But if you're in just looking at sugar levels and you're going to have that much sugar anyway, it's better for your body to basically pound a raisin or pound a cranberry than it is to pound a raisin. We got polyphenol A. We always seen how it actually is affecting the bacteria for UTIs. This past year, we found out that it's also affecting the bacteria that affects ulcers, H. pylori. And if you have a science background, you start to figure out, well, if it's affecting just this bacteria, that's fine. But if it's affecting this bacteria and this bacteria, now you start to question, well, what other bacteria are we actually getting into? And now, even besides a cranberry taking the place of a raisin, it's and I apologize for the kombucha people that are out there, but it's kombucha that tastes good. It's going to affect all the gut bacteria in some very good ways. There's anecdotal evidence for IBS. There's anecdotal evidence for autoimmune. We are actually helping to fund these health research projects to be able to see just how healthy cranberries are. But all of the initial data is looking really good. It's going to take time, as all health research does. But I sincerely hope I'm still in a job in 10 years from now. And I'm back on Larry's program and saying that the FDA has cleared cranberries for X, Y, and Z. Hopefully.
You know what I do this time of the year? I go to the grocery store and I find some fresh cranberries in bags, you know, the size of those bags. And I grab,
I grab a couple
of those that are designated for the freezer. And then I take a handful out when I'm making pancakes and I smash them up and I throw them in the pancake batter. And they are really good that way when you put some maple syrup on them.
I have 12 bags in the freezer right now because just like the caller and just like you, I like those fresh berries.
Yeah.
And I've thrown them in pancakes once before. I got to tell you, I'm a carnivore and I love to take cranberries because they're not a bully. They actually go with so many recipes without robbing flavor. So especially this time of year, take your turkey. And stuffing, you always get all the, did it get hot enough? Other people are using different stuffings. I will take it and I will fill a turkey with cranberries, even the sweet and dried, if you will, or the unsweetened dried. And I put cranberries in that cavity. And when you roast that sucker, it makes an incredible flavor. One of our handlers gave me some jalapeno flavored cranberries and I put that in a duck. That was a religious experience. It was amazing.
Grant, we are out of time, but I tell you, it has been a real pleasure talking with you. You'll come back and be with us again, I hope.
Oh, you can. The love that we just got from the public for cranberries, but my ego will bring me back here day after day, anytime you want.
Grant Holley, Executive Director of the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. It's great to have him with us today. We're going to talk about pizza coming up, and I'm going to ask Dana Spandad if she ever made cranberry pizza. Put some turkey on it. There you go. Next, I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News.